War clouds loom on the horizon. Again,
the United States' biggest 20th century conflict was World War II. 65,000 South Dakotans entered military service, joining the Army, National Guard, Marines. Some fought in the air. Army Air Corps bases for training flyers were built at Sioux Falls, Watertown, Mitchell, Pier, and Rapid City. The one at Rapid City survives today as Ellsworth Air Force Base. But even more South Dakotans served on the home front. They knew the first battle most soldiers fight is homesickness. Wherever their war destination, most fighting men and women traveled by train during World War II. So, folks in Aberdeen started a canteen in their railroad depot. Canteens were places along the rails where people in military service could relax, eat free food, and enjoy entertainment. The Aberdeen Canteen stayed open 7 days a week, from 8 in the morning until midnight or later. It became famous for pheasant sandwiches. Meanwhile, the United States found it could no longer get material for life jackets from the island of Java, because Java was in the war zone. But milkweed seed floss proved a good substitute. Life jackets were necessary for sailors and flyers fighting at sea. So South Dakota school children pitched in, helping gather a national total of 14,000 bags of milkweed pods. South Dakotans rationed foods during the war, meaning they could use only certain amounts of sugar, meat, and coffee per week. Gasoline and tires were also rationed. The Army built a base for storing bombs south of Edgemont. Because the strange structures were shaped like Eskimo homes, the base was named Igloo. Homestake Gold Mine in Leed stopped mining and instead became a factory, turning out parts for grenades and airplanes. Changes often meant sacrifice, but in some cases, they also meant opportunity. More than ever before, women went to work, filling jobs soldiers left behind. Women and men alike were students at a flight training school at Spearfish's Black Hills Teachers College prior to World War II. After the war began, several of these women became instructors because the original flight teachers went to war. Spearfish was typical of South Dakota college towns during World War II, watching schools change from peacetime education to training aimed at winning the war. And everywhere, in city lots and open fields, South Dakotans grew victory gardens, producing food for the war effort. What were farmers to do at harvest time with so many of their usual workers away? Often communities pitched in to organize help. Near Belle Fourche, sugar beet farmers were happy to have German prisoners of war provided. There were about 1,200 prisoners of war in camps across South Dakota during World War II. In addition to farm work, prisoners helped control Missouri River erosion. According to an international treaty called the Geneva Convention, signed by the United States and other nations in 1929, prisoners of war were to be treated fairly. They were to have the same amount and quality of food as citizens, and free time after their work. United States leaders believed that if enemy soldiers knew they'd be treated fairly, they wouldn't resist capture. That would save the lives of American soldiers. Saving lives, that topped everyone's concerns. Even on the home front, South Dakotans were warned to be cautious, to realize they could accidentally reveal information that would help the enemy. And South Dakota wasn't entirely safe from enemy attack during the war. In 1944 and 45, the Japanese military sent 6,000 big balloons across the Pacific Ocean toward the United States. The balloons carried bombs and fire-starting devices, but it turned out they weren't very effective weapons. Most dropped along the United States west coast. A few made it all the way to South Dakota. One exploded over Belle Fourche. A rancher found another on the Cheyenne River Reservation.